Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Talk It Out Podcast. Today, I'm joined by Sydney and Ella, two students that I studied abroad with last semester in Spain. And today, we'd like to talk about our experiences with you. All right. How are you two doing?
I'm good.
I'm good, too.
Yeah.
Good. Finals are gearing up. Feeling a little nervous about that?
Yeah, just, well, happy note, side note, my professor, we're supposed to have our exam on Monday, and he just pushed it back to Friday.
That is good.
And we just got our study guide today, and today is Wednesday for reference. So it was going to be a quick turnaround, but I'm feeling better.
Yeah.
That is nerve-wracking, but hopefully everything goes well.
Thanks.
But right now, today's focus, we just want to talk about the past, and more specifically, our past in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
So let's begin with just a little bit of background on the program. So just to begin, where did y'all go?
We both went to Toledo, Spain.
Mm-hmm. Which is in... Madrid is in the center of Spain, and it's just about an hour and a half south.
Mm-hmm. About an hour south by...
From the capital.
Yeah, an hour south by bus, yeah.
Yep.
All right. So, why did you choose this program?
I chose it because I wanted to enroll in a school where it would be fully in Spanish, where you could be fully immersed, where your professors were... Spaniards. I did have one who was Hispanic. He was from Latin America, but still fully immersed, fully in Spanish, and that's really what I was looking for, and that's what I got.
Yeah, I also was looking for full immersion, but it also was important for me to take it with second language speakers and not be in a native school. I just felt like that was a little bit too intimidating for me, so it was really nice being with others, Americans, and normally they have even people from Japan there who are taking it as a second language. It also was really important for me to have a host family, which I was able to do there. So that was really cool as well.
Nice. So were you surprised with the size of the school? Was this a big school or a relatively small school?
I didn't know what to expect because it's an international institute. So I didn't know how big it meant by like international. I didn't know how many other schools and students were going to be there. I was happy with the size. It didn't feel too small where... I couldn't branch out, but it also wasn't so many people that you actually couldn't get to know people and build friendships that way either.
Yeah, I feel like size of the school is not something I was worried about at all. And I ended up really liking it because it was like small enough where like you felt like you knew people, like it wasn't an intimidating building, but it also was like big enough where like you could have different people in different classes and have different like kind of social interests.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. So easy enough to make connections along the way. But prior to that, did you have any connections before you even went? Did you know any other students that you were studying abroad with?
Well, we knew each other, obviously. Yeah. We're on the golf team here together at SNC. We knew you.
We knew you.
Me.
We kind of knew Julia.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. I had a couple Spanish classes with her previous semesters.
And then I knew people who had been there before.
Okay.
I actually, funny, when I got there, I realized I knew a girl from my high school because she was going to the U of M, and she was part of the U of M group of students that was studying there. So I hadn't seen her since, well, school shut down back with COVID back in high school. So it was crazy running into an old classmate from high school.
Okay. Ellie, you brought this up a little bit earlier, but just with housing situation, you mentioned host family. Was that the same for you, Sydney? Did you stay with a host family as well?
Yeah, 100%. I was not going to study abroad unless I was staying with a host family. Again, it was part of that immersive experience, and especially with mine didn't speak any English at all, so it was exactly what I wanted. I got full Spanish almost 24 hours a day, except for when... Like, I was with a group of students or friends, and we took that as, like, a mental break from all the Spanish, and we would, like, get together and speak a little English, but, yeah.
All right. So how far away were each of your host families away from the school?
Mine was about a 10 to 15-minute bus ride from the school.
Okay.
I lived outside of the Costco in Polígono, and it was a 30-minute bus ride into school every day. So it was a little bit more of a trip, but it was a really nice bus ride, so I... Didn't have anything really to complain about.
Costco, in reference, is the old town district that the school is actually based in. So, continuing on with the school, though, what classes did you take while you were studying abroad in Spain?
I took a Camino de Santiago kind of history culture course, which was really interesting. I know we all took theology of Spanish mythicism together.
Mm-hmm.
I also took a film class and then a diversity and global health class.
And then I took 5 classes with Ella and Riley. I took the theology class, and then I took a literature class. I took a poli-sci of Latin America, a conversations in Spanish class, and I'm blanking on my other one right now.
It was an art history, I believe.
You're right. It is art history. It was the history of master painters of Spain. Oh. I love that class. Can't believe I forgot about it. Thank you.
Of course. Well, when taking a look at class, how did class structure and format compare to the classes that you took here at SNC?
I feel like there wasn't as much like daily homework and like daily work in a lot of classes. It more was like 2 or 3 bigger tests and a couple papers and projects. You didn't really... Some classes did participation points, but it more was just like a couple bigger things that determined your grade rather than a bunch of like little assignments and then like a final and a test.
Gotcha.
I'd agree. There wasn't a lot of homework for most of my classes. Like my conversations in Spanish class, it was mainly participation because it was all about speaking Spanish and then comparing the cultures of like the U.S. compared to Spain or different parts of Europe compared to Spain. So that was really interesting. I did actually have a lot of side work, though, for my literature class and then my poli-sci class, because I have to do a lot with, obviously, reading and looking at history and stuff. So those two were more content-heavy, but my other three were a lot more lax.
Nice. Well, I know we touched on this a little bit earlier, but was it at all difficult to have most of your life for that semester spent in Spanish, just speaking Spanish?
For me personally, no. I went to a Spanish immersion school from preschool to high school, so it was kind of like going back to my roots because I hadn't been that immersed in the Spanish language in so long, and that's kind of what I missed. And I, like I said before, I kind of got that back. It was really nice to actually learn in Spanish again and to think and to write and to speak in another language. It was, I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, I think the transition was a little bit harder for me, but I only had been taking Spanish in high school and college, so I've only had it for an hour, maybe 45 minutes each day. So I never had gotten the full immersion kind of experience before. So I remember the first couple of weeks my head would just hurt because I was living with a host family, which is all Spanish. But you do adjust really fast, and you don't even realize like how much better your Spanish is getting. So my host mom would be like, oh, you know that word now? Like, I don't have to explain this. And I was like, oh, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, my host dad would make me do tongue twisters until I got them right. So they get, especially with host families, they get really passionate about communicating with you and helping you learn, too. So it's always a lot of fun.
They always wanted to teach me, like, bad slang words.
Yes.
So I would use them and sound Spanish.
Yeah, my host dad would use them, and my host mom would give him, like, the dirtiest look, being like, you should not be teaching her those words. And he was like, why? It was so funny.
Well, this full immersion into Spanish is definitely a heavy task to take on, so it might be daunting at first. Was this a decision that you made to study abroad more of a spur of the moment when you got to SNC, or was this more of a long-lasting decision to make even early on?
I wish people could see me shaking my head because not at all. It was not even a little bit spur of the moment. I knew since high school I was going to study abroad because I remember meeting like high school teachers that either were native speakers or weren't native speakers, and how they studied abroad in their college careers and how much of an influence that made on them, on their future and on their Spanish-speaking abilities. So just before I even went to college, I knew it was something I wanted to do. It was just once I got here deciding when I wanted to do it and where I wanted to go.
Yeah, I always knew I wanted to study abroad as well. I felt like people who did it, I had cousins who did it, just had such a great experience. I didn't know I wanted to do a language study abroad program until I got involved with the Spanish program here and decided to do a Spanish minor, and then it was just kind of a natural choice and everything just kind of fell into place. But it was very important to me, and that's part of the reason I chose SNC was the ability to study abroad.
Nice. Well, it's all safe to say that we walked away with this experience with great memories, but before we continue on with that, I would like to touch on some of the challenges that we faced.
Mm-hmm.
So what struggles did you face while you were studying abroad? Struggles in your classes particularly, or living in the host family for once? What challenges did you face while you were studying abroad?
I remember, it's hard to remember specifics because it's been a while and I also just got used to them, but there are a lot of really big cultural differences. Just with like the way the household is run and stuff too, like I don't know, like, it doesn't seem like a big deal, but my host mom was in charge of a lot of stuff in the house when it came to cooking and cleaning and preparing stuff. And at least for me, I grew up where I either cook dinner for my family or I help cook or I do the dishes and stuff like that. So having, like, my host mom take care of everything was, like, a really big shock to me. And I actually, even though she said I didn't have to, I would still, like, wash my own dishes and stuff after I ate, because I just felt, as a way of not, one, I felt responsible, but also just to, like, say thank you for letting me, well, for being able to stay with them. It was so nice of them, so.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I fully agree with that. It's that initial shock. I'm usually the one to help out, either cook the food or clean afterwards. So just to sit there at dinner time and then every time the meal's finished to say, can I help?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's okay. I'll take care of it. It was a big shock, and I always wanted to help out in any way I possibly could.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like definitely host family, a little bit of a shock, just, like, because they do run their houses very differently, like, work kind of structure is a little bit differently there, like, they don't talk about work or anything at all, like, after hours. So just, like, general, like, cultural things, like, living with the family was a little bit different. And then the other thing is just, like, you hear Spanish all the time, especially we were in a smaller town, like, when you heard English, it was like, who's speaking English? Like, who is this? So I think, like, that initially was, like, a big, like, whoa, nobody knows. Whereas, like, a bigger city, Madrid, you would hear it more often. So I think those were two were kind of bigger hurdles.
Absolutely. Did you ever feel any homesickness at all? And when, I guess, if it did happen, when did it subside?
I think a little bit initially, just because that was actually the first time I had, like, flown overseas. I'd been out of the country, but only in North America, so that was a little bit of a shock, too, and I had flight problems, and I was stuck, and it was a whole mess. So I think that was a little bit stressful, so it took me a little bit of time to adjust at that point, because I had gone through kind of a fiasco with
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah.
So I think just kind of the initial, like, week or two, when you're not adjusted, like, you're living with a family that you don't really know, and that was a little bit, like, weird for me, like, not totally knowing and being in their house. But after, I think, like, 2 weeks, I was totally fine, completely happy, like, didn't really have any homesickness after that.
I personally didn't really have any homesickness. I don't know. I also went away for college. Like, I live 4 hours away. It's not super far, not, like, a flight, but I don't go home that often. I only go home for breaks, so it just felt like I wasn't going to be going back home till at the end of the semester again. So it didn't really feel very weird, and I felt very comfortable with my host family. They were both in their late 60s, early 70s, so I felt like I was with my grandparents, and then I was able to communicate with them pretty easily, so I felt very comfortable. It did feel weird at the beginning, though, I'm not going to lie. Like, it felt weird living in somebody else's home and sleeping in somebody else's bed and using somebody else's shower, and I don't know, it just, that felt kind of weird to get comfortable around that part. But otherwise, I had, like, great people that I went there with, like you guys, and Julia, the other SNC student. But I also made some really good friends pretty quickly, with, like, Kira and Megan and a bunch of other people from, like, Notre Dame and the U of M. So I think having other students there that also just wanted to go out and do stuff and to sightsee and to travel with you helped me feel very comfortable and ready just to go out and to explore. So,
yeah. Absolutely. You definitely gained a lot of confidence, and it felt a lot more comfortable traveling mm-hmm. with a group of people. However, there are still instances where you can get lost. So were there any moments where, like, this is a new city, there are new places to travel, were there any moments where you had any mishaps, whether that was in Toledo or in Madrid, where you felt lost? I can recall a couple instances, some nightmare stories of traveling in Madrid. Were there any moments like that?
I don't think I had anything major. Just sometimes when you're using public transportation, it's a little bit unpredictable. So I remember needing to jog through an airport or jog to make a train. Toledo also is very windy, so I do remember getting, like, turned around a couple times and being like, wait, where am I? Just when I was, like, wandering around for fun.
Yeah, 100%.
But I don't think I had anything major mishap.
Yeah, I would say nothing too crazy. I did get a SIM card when I was in Spain, so I was able to have access to internet and service at almost all times. So if I ever was questioning where to go, I immediately just pulled it up on my phone. And I didn't really ever get lost that way. And also, I had a great group of friends that always knew what they were doing and where they were going, so I was able just to follow them around, and like they knew how to get through the airport, they knew how to get through the subways and stuff, so I never really had to worry about trying to figure it out because they already knew what they were doing. So I had a pretty easy trip almost the whole time.
That is good. That is a blessing in disguise to have mm-hmm. such a good group that has that confidence and that ability to navigate wherever they are.
Yeah, they plan out to a T. Like, schedule is set, mm-hmm. tickets are bought. I was like, ooh, I'm ready to travel. I'll just follow you guys around. It was perfect.
I think I know who you're talking about. Yeah. Well, when we talk about study abroad, there's that initial element of studying. There's classes. There's different elements of academic lifestyle that we have to continue on as students. However, a big part of studying abroad is just making the most of your experience. So this is what I want to touch on a little bit more. So how did you capture your memories, and how did you live your best life when you were in Spain?
Like, in terms of capturing memories, I had, like, a journal, and then I got some good advice from a student who had studied in Italy, and she got something from each city she traveled to, so I collected postcards. So I have a whole collection of, like, each city I went to, each different weekend I tried to get a postcard, and I have a little collage. So I feel like that was a good way. That worked for me, and it also wasn't super expensive to get, like, a cute little thing from each city.
I don't know if I captured it very well. I kind of just tried to live in the moment where I was doing it at the beginning. I went, like, 2 months strong out of, like, the 3.5-4 we were there, journaling almost every day, or not every day, on, like, a weekly basis, like, a weekly, like, rundown. Mm-hmm. Or, like, if I went on a trip with friends on the weekend, I'd try to, like, sum it up in a couple, like, paragraphs or whatever, but the biggest thing in Spain that I learned and took away was to chill out and to just live in the moment. Like, one thing we talked about in my Spanish conversations class was how the U.S. is so go, go, go. Like, get as much done as possible, work yourself to the bone, where it was crazy to go home back in Polígono and walk past, like, all these restaurants and cafes and bars and stuff and see families outside at, like, 6 p.m., 7 p.m. at a bar, sitting in the sunlight, having a cerveza and having tapas and being with their friends and family in the neighborhood while their kids are at the park, just kitty corner to the bar. It was crazy, just the whole community lifestyle about coming home and relaxing and spending time with people you care about, and making time for that and not, like, getting out of work at, like, 5 p.m. and going home and just, like, being so exhausted that I don't even make time for other people. So I guess just going out of class and then going back home, like, I lived pretty close to my friend Kira, so we would, like, go, we'd take the bus home together because we both live in Polígono, and then we'd stop at a bar and we'd have a cerveza for, like, an hour, and then we'd both go home for, like, the evening to have dinner with our families. So just, like, taking time to live in the moment was the biggest thing for me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There's such a big cultural shift between living to work and working to live. And you definitely see that when you travel to Spain. Just yep. the mm-hmm. amount and just the strength of community that's there. And just, it's not the absence of objectivity and just going and going and going, but it's just living your life as well as you can.
Mm-hmm.
So with all that being said, do you feel that you made the most of your time while you were in Spain?
Okay, this sounds a little hypocritical, but no, because I also tend to work myself to the bone, and I don't always take time for myself, like, academically. So, like, I went there, obviously, for, like, the immersion and the Spanish language. I'm a Spanish major. I don't know if I mentioned that. So the Spanish language was really important to me. And so I spent a lot of time studying and doing homework. And not to, like, brag, but my goal was to get straight A's, and I got it. But in doing so, I sacrificed a lot of traveling time. I didn't travel as much as other people, which is one of my biggest regrets. I did travel a lot in Spain, but when you're in Europe, if you have a chance to travel within Europe, like, do it. I didn't take advantage of that. I only left Spain once, and I went to Germany, and it was so much fun. We were there, we made a 3-day trip out of it, and we went to Munich, and I'll never forget it. And I wish I would have done that with more places within Spain and within Europe. I still had a great time still, like, traveling around in Toledo, even when I didn't leave on the weekends, yeah. But just exploring that city itself was a lot of fun, but I wish I would have taken more time to travel within Spain and then also just within Europe.
Yeah, I feel like I did. I traveled pretty much every weekend. I think there were only like 3, maybe 4 that I stayed home. I feel like it was well worth it to me. I do think I like put too much pressure on myself academically. I did get good grades, but it doesn't end up mattering because they don't transfer. So it's kind of like,
yeah, I don't know why I
didn't.
That to
I, yeah, I didn't need to put the pressure on myself to get all A's, even though I did. So I feel like you don't have to worry as much academically. So that could have alleviated some of my like homework time and stuff. But I did still travel a lot, so that was really fun. I'm really glad I did the trips that I did.
Yeah. Well, then again, it's also a testament to yourself and just how you're willing to learn something new, like an entirely new language, and then apply that to a historical setting, anthropological setting,
mm-hmm.
a scientific setting, artistic setting,
mm-hmm.
and come away with it feeling successful. So there's definitely a mix of studying and then studying abroad.
And they luckily make it like possible for us to travel too, because we didn't have classes on Fridays.
Yeah.
So you were able to leave on like a Thursday night or a Friday morning,
mm-hmm.
and then travel someplace and come back on a
yeah.
Sunday evening. So it was definitely doable, and it was great.
Absolutely. They did provide plenty of opportunities to get out there, even if getting out there was just getting outside of your apartment with your host family,
yeah.
mm-hmm.
and walking to a park or
mm-hmm.
checking out a new store or bar that you've never been to.
And our institution also did offer really great pre-planned excursions too,
mm-hmm.
And those were always a lot of fun too to take with other students.
Yeah, absolutely. So when it comes down to finding that connection within your country or your host country, did you feel that you were able to connect, that you found some form of home while you were there?
Yeah, definitely. I think especially having a host family really helped that. Like, my host family would take me to meet her friends. I got to go to like their pueblo where like she grew up, and I got to meet like her parents and all of her cousins, and like went to this whole like family reunion. Like, so I feel like they really like adopted me, and that really like helped. Like, she would take me to get, we would get our nails done together and stuff like that. So I really got like immersed and got to meet a lot of people through my host family, my host brother, and that was really cool. And I just feel like as long as you're willing to like try and understand the culture and like the language, most people in Toledo were super receptive to that and super excited to have you like trying to understand the language and the culture, whereas like if you're just speaking English, they probably wouldn't have been as welcoming.
Absolutely.
Yeah, just to add to that before I talk about my host family too, it was super funny how they would see you, and I'll automatically know that you're American, but or at least not from Spain,
mm-hmm.
so they would immediately try to talk to you in English, but you would respond to them in Spanish. They'd be like, oh, and then they start talking to you
mm-hmm.
in Spanish too. Also, though, against that a little bit, I did have, like, one whole evening where this person, like, refused to talk to me in Spanish because they wanted to practice their English. So we had, like, a full conversation where I would answer in Spanish to practice my Spanish, and then they would answer back to me in English. And it was like we switched our roles, and that was also really funny. So I agree with Ella 100%. Like, you meet really great people there, too, like, when you go to the local bars and stuff, and they're all just so nice and welcoming. It's a very cozy city, I would argue, which is also one of the main reasons why I picked Toledo, just because of its size and the environment of it. And then also with Ella, my family, we didn't go out and do as much together. I think I only went out twice the whole time I was there with them, but because they were more of a stay-at-home family, they're very, especially my host mom, she just loved being at home and watching her shows and her movies and stuff. But I always looked forward to coming home in the evening and sitting down in a living room and watching the news with them and watching TV with them and sitting down at the dinner table with them and setting up for dinner and eating with them, conversing, talking about what's going on in the world, what's going on in Spain, what I'm going to be doing on the weekend, what's going on in my classes, and then cleaning up and then saying goodnight to them and then waking up in the morning and saying good morning to them. So it's kind of just like the normal like family routine and how easily you get integrated into it. And I got to know my host brother pretty well. He was 38, I think. He actually worked at the institute we went to, and he was super nice, super funny. His name was Christian. He had a Yorkie called Eros, and they would bring it over, and it would bark all the time, and it would freak out the pet bird my host family had, whose name was Pee-Pee, and he was a whole nother situation. It was great. But it was a lot of fun. They're all really great people.
That right there is just two examples of how easily and how securely you fit into the culture and to just the whole environment of Spain or just anywhere that you go and you study abroad. But when it comes to international studies, you can't forget the international part of it. So when we take a look at just the travel it took to get to Spain, now we have to think about traveling outside of Spain to go to other countries. So Sydney, you touched on this a little bit of going to Germany, but did you both travel outside of your host city often, and then where did you go?
Yeah, the first half of the semester, I mainly traveled like around Spain. So I did a lot of train travel. So I know Sydney and I went to Valencia together. I went to Sevilla, Granada. I can't even remember where else I went, but I went around Spain like the first like half of the semester. And then the second half of the semester, I went like outside of Spain. So it was more like plane travel. So I went to Ireland, I went to Portugal, I went to Denmark, and then for spring break, I went to Italy for a week.
Yeah, I didn't leave Spain a lot. I went to a couple different places in Spain. Like, Alyssa went to Valencia together, still one of my favorite trips. It was one of the first ones we did, too. A couple places through the institution we went to, like Granada, and then I can't remember what other places we went to.
Cordoba,
maybe, yeah. But what was the place with the windmills?
Don
We also went to Segovia.
Segovia, yeah. So there was a couple different places that I went to within Spain, and then I only left, like I said, to Munich, Germany for one weekend. Oh, and I went to Barcelona for spring break for 10 days, so that was also a lot of fun. My family came and actually visited me over that, since it was Easter, too, so they came over Easter and stuff, so that was really cool.
Yeah. Well, it's good to hear that you had a diverse experience with the many places that you went to, but here comes the difficult question. Out of all the places and cities that you explored, which one was your favorite?
Such a bad question.
It is a bad question. It's hard to play favorites, but...
I think the coolest place I went was when we were in Italy. We went to the Amalfi Coast and went to like Positano, and like it looks like something out of a movie scene. Like it was absolutely unreal. We did like a boat tour. Like it was just like beautiful. So I think that's definitely like the coolest place I've ever seen. So I'm gonna go with that. And I was like on my spring break, we were with a ton of fun people. Like it was a great experience.
I think the coolest place I went to was the one time I actually left Spain, which was Munich, Germany. Just because it was so different from when we got there. One, Munich is like this really cute, normal little city. I don't know how to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
But we then took a trip to this town called Fussen. I don't know how they say it. But there was snow. It had snowed the night before, so I actually had to buy, like, gloves and a scarf and stuff, and they had two castles there, but the one castle was an inspiration for Disney's, I think, Sleeping Beauty's castle, if I remember correctly. But anyway, so that was just a lot of fun, going around Munich and just seeing, like, the old timey, like, oh, and then we went to, I don't know what it's called, but it's, like, this giant, it's, like, this building, and it's, like, a restaurant, but they're known for, like, their beer, and you get giant mugs of them.
Big old steins.
Yeah, I don't know, I don't know what those are called.
Beer halls or beer gardens.
Yeah, something, we went, like, a beer garden, went to a beer garden, too, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Getting, like, a giant, giant mug.
That's great.
So, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
I know study abroad for me was definitely an experience at moments of first, so this is the first time for me that I've ever left the country, so going to Spain was such a unique moment, and then... I traveled around Spain. I went to Valencia as well, Cordoba and Granada.
Mm-hmm.
Spent plenty time in Madrid, and then I also went up north to Bilbao, and it's such an incredible, a lot of memories that I had there. Valencia, for first example, is the first time I've ever seen the Mediterranean Sea, and going up to Valencia is the first time I've ever touched the ocean. So it's just. Memories of first upon first, so it's incredible. Going outside of Spain, I traveled to Ireland with Ella, and then I even traveled to Prague in the Czech Republic to visit my girlfriend for a weekend. So there is a lot of incredible opportunities to get outside of Spain, as well as to explore different areas inside Spain. When we talk a lot about traveling abroad and traveling to other countries, we can't forget the travel part. So when it came to transportation, what were your thoughts about it? Were they cheap? Was it good accommodations, bad accommodations? What were your overall thoughts?
I felt like, honestly, it was pretty easy to get around. Toledo was super easy to manage the bus system. Our university was pretty good about, like, helping us get to Madrid, like by train or something, and how to get to the airport and like what the safest ways were. Honestly, none of my flights, I think, were over 100 euros round trip.
It was really easy.
Italy, because we ended up like flying from Naples to Milan and then back to Madrid just to make it quicker on the way back. But super cheap, super easy to manage.
Yeah, I believe our Ireland round trip was around 70.
I think it was 70, and we were like on a nice airline.
Yeah, it's definitely affordable. It's definitely doable. I think the hardest part was like lining up like a train or a bus to take you to get to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
And because there's two different airports in Madrid too, so depending on the airport you end up at, so organizing that's always the biggest puzzle piece about how you're going to get to the airport depending on when your flight is. Like, for example, I had to sleep in the airport once because our flight was at like 6 a.m. So there was no way to get to Madrid by 6 a.m. like in the morning, just because buses and trains aren't running at that time in the morning. So we left as like at the latest bus we could possibly take, which I think is like right before 11 or like at 10:30 or something. And then we went to the airport. We had to spend the night in the airport. Otherwise, it's very easy.
Yeah, and accommodations wise, I don't think we had one issue, but I feel like it was pretty easy. I didn't typically stay in hostels. I had good luck with like Airbnb.
Yeah.
We did stay in a couple hostels, but as long as you look at the reviews, like I always felt very safe.
I've actually stayed in very, very nice hostels. Mm-hmm. Like the one I did in Germany, we got a 4-person room hostel, and it was 4 of us girls traveling. So that was really nice. And the one time I stayed in like a full hostel with Ella, it was actually a pretty nice hostel. And it was 8 to a room, but it was all female. And it actually wasn't full. I think at most there was 4 or 5 of us in there at a time. So they're all actually very... I was impressed with the hostels, but usually we stayed in Airbnbs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that brings me to another great question of just, do you have any tips for our audience members for traveling while abroad?
Read the reviews, I would say. That helped me out a lot, especially like when we were picking like Airbnbs and like hostels and stuff. You want to make sure like they have good reviews and like people feel safe and like it's clean and stuff.
And that like a good majority have actually stayed there before and stuff too, I would say.
I got a lot of recommendations from like people who had studied abroad before, so that really helped too, is to reach out to people who I knew had like studied abroad in Florence when we were going to Florence, and I got really good like recommendations through that too.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Any sites in particular, apps that you use to make it a little bit more easier facilitation along the way?
I used City Mapper public transportation, because that would work pretty much in every country in Europe, I think. It worked all over Spain.
Yeah, at least in Spain, that's all I used.
It worked for me in Portugal and Italy as well.
Also, like, if you, depending on where you study at, whether it's in Spain or somewhere else, figure out if they have specific apps that you can get for their bus systems or train
mm-hmm.
systems too, because I would get like, we couldn't download it, but wasn't it called like Un Auto?
We couldn't get American phones.
Yeah, but if you can get a specific app that's connected to the area you're in, highly recommend getting that, because it makes it so much easier for you.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, traveling to different countries seems pretty unmemorable, instead of the nightmarish times that we've had trying to get from place to place. But at least there's one memorable travel, and that is the traveling back to our country. So when we look at post-study abroad, how did you feel when it came time to leave your host country?
It was very difficult to leave my host family specifically. At that point, I was kind of ready to see my like home friends and my family, but leaving my host family was really, really hard. Like, my host mom couldn't even come with to drop me off because she was crying so hard, and it just was so difficult. And then you do like actually get culture shock coming back, because like, I don't know, everything was just so fast paced and I was just stressed out. So I think that was hard.
Host family, the goodbye was really nice. We just sat down and had dinner together and then said goodbye to all of them at home. And then my host mom like walked me out. She carried my bag and got me a taxi and dropped me off the taxi and then say goodbye to me and just wish me safe travels and stuff like that. So it was a very good, sweet, like, loving goodbye, which felt really nice. They've been doing it, hosting for 12 years, so I'm just another face. But they were, again, so welcoming, so loving, that I didn't feel like just another student. They definitely made me feel very at home. So it felt weird to say goodbye to them, and especially because I don't know when I'll ever see them again. Hopefully soon. I'd like to go back, definitely, but I just don't know when that will be. Otherwise, I wish I would have stayed a little bit longer afterwards to travel without school looming over me, just to be more immersed in just daily life than being, oh, I can go out and walk around a little bit for a couple hours, but I gotta go home and make it in time for dinner and then to do some homework for class tomorrow, you know? So I think without having a possible essay due or homework to do or an exam coming up looming over me every once in a while, I think it would have been nice to stay for another month and just travel a little bit more to Spain that I didn't get to see. But otherwise, I'm 100% happy with my experience studying abroad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It is definitely a difficult and somewhat heartbreaking week before you leave. But now that we are home, what lessons did you learn along the way from your study abroad experience?
My favorite phrase is no pasa nada, which means like a direct translation would be like nothing's happening. It basically means like chill out, nothing's wrong, like relax. And just like the spurt, like live in the moment mentality of it, and to take a step back and to live for yourself a little bit and not for your homework, not for your job, and not for other people, and to enjoy life. I think that was my biggest takeaway.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Like, I feel like that was the biggest for me too. And just like life like it is here isn't necessarily how it is everywhere. Like, even just like I try and make time for myself to like enjoy my coffee like I would in Spain and stuff like that. Like the little things, I try and adapt to my lifestyle here, and that's been cool.
Yeah. So would you both agree that studying abroad is or has been a life-changing experience?
Yeah, definitely.
100%. I think the biggest thing someone can do in their life is travel, especially if you've never been outside of the U.S. Like, it seems really daunting, but it opens you up to so many cultures, ways of life, people, it just food, music. It's amazing, and I think everybody should travel if they ever have a chance.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree.
Absolutely. Well, as we wrap up, what final words of advice do you have to students that are prospective or are looking to study abroad in the future?
Do it.
Yeah. Just, that's all I have.
It's as simple as that. Do it. You won't regret your time spent in a different environment, in a different culture, learning, growing, and living.
Yeah, you just have to go with an open mindset. Just go there with like the lowest expectation possible, because it's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
So don't like set any like outlandish expectations and just go and live in the moment and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Well, that about wraps it up for this episode of the Talk It Out. I just want to say thank you both to Sydney and Ella for joining me. And as one final thank you to the audience, and we will see you for the next episode.
Bye.
Bye.